Lloyd Griffiths is going to Southampton and he doesn't know where.
No.
Do you know what time you're on stage?
10 o'clock. It's too late, isn't it?
That's quite late. You've got enough time to get there with the train strike.
Yeah, and I'm having to hire a car because my car hasn't... I've got a car coming and it hasn't arrived yet. And
what do you mean? You've got a new car?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who gets a new car.
Right.
A new car?
Well, I mean, it's...
Oh, you're so showbiz. You're not like when I first met you. Oh, you've changed. You've changed.
When I say it's a new car, like it's new for me...
You've blushed.
It's good, yeah.
You're so red in the face.
Oh,
what car is it?
I mean, I'm trying to play this
like... I can't believe that I've made you blush, because you usually class make
Northern.
Me blush.
It's a grey estate.
It's a grey estate. Is it a Jaguar or something?
No.
Is it a Porsche?
No.
You've gone really... What's happened? I'm going to tell Rob Beckett on you.
It's a BMW.
I'm going to tell the Beckett.
I just need a big car for touring, because you need to put all the stuff in there.
What stuff?
Microphones. My joke books. They're big.
Oh, huge.
Props.
You
props.
Need a BMW.
I like to take a lamp on stage with me. Like whenever I go gigging, I like to put a lamp and a rug on stage.
It feels like
I'm at home.
I've seen you do your stand-up. Well, how many times? Many times.
A few, yeah. Like, was it first with Rob?
With Rob. I've seen you twice with Rob.
Yeah.
And then I saw you do you.
Yeah.
You were you. Where were you? You.
I don't know. I'm me off like all over.
And I remember, because when you came on the radio show, because Rob said, you've got to get my mate Lloyd on. She came on the radio show, and that's when we saw, you can sing, and nobody could believe it. And then I remember seeing you doing your stand-up, and you've incorporated the singing into your stand-up. It's just...
Yeah, and the thing is, so I started as a choir boy. So I grew up in Grimsby and started as a choir boy, and I've just loved it ever since. And
I'm so pleased.
Do you know what I've realised in the last, I'd say, 4 years, that I don't sing in as many choirs anymore. And I've really missed it, because there's like a huge community that comes with it as well.
Yeah, of course.
And it's good for mindfulness, your breathing and stuff. So I've really, really missed singing the last like four
or 5 years.
You can
sing now.
It's still quite early.
But sing. A little. You know I was going to ask you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know that. Well, we'll wait.
Yeah,
let's save it.
Let me think about what would be nice to
just in case. So here are two things that about Lloyd Griffiths that I'd like to share. First of all, this morning, my husband said, who are you chatting to? And I said, look, I said, oh, that was, honestly, he was so funny, but don't tell Rob how funny he was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I'm not going to ring up Rob and say, Lloyd's really funny.
I'll text him.
And then I said to him, do you know the thing about Lloyd Griffiths, I've decided, is that if I was walking down the street and I saw you, I would scream with excitement, because that's how much I think you just ooze loveliness. And secondly, the lovely Ed, who works on this show, wants to know if it's true, the thing you talk about on all podcasts and interviews.
Which bit?
About your shins.
And my calves.
No, your calves. Not your shins. I thought it was your shins. No, it's your calves.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone boast about their shins. I've got massive shins. Pardon what? I've got huge calves, yeah.
Could you raise your leg?
Well, I can,
I don't know I've ever seen your calves. Oh, you've got calves. You've got two people's calves.
I've got, and those two people are me and Jack Grealish. Like, I've got
Put it up in the air. Do it proper.
Is that okay?
Yeah. So
Ed, can you see that, mate?
Ed, are you happy with his calf? Ed's very happy with your calf.
They're huge, yeah.
Is that because of football?
I don't know. They've always been big. Like, my mum's got one. She probably won't let me say this.
She's not going to like
She's got biggish calves. I think we're just a calf-heavy fam.
How are your mum's shins?
Mum's shins? I don't know. I've not really seen them recently. She's wearing long dresses at the moment. I don't think she gets her legs out that much now. 63, bless her. Bless her.
So she doesn't get her legs out?
No, I think
not because of her age.
No, I just think that she's now where she wears clothes that are a bit more leg covery. Oh my God, I do not know how to get out of this. And she will listen.
Leg covery?
Yeah, that's what I went with. So usually like long dresses or trousers, or, you know, there will be, I'm sure, tights. I don't think she gets her legs out as often as she probably would back in the
day. Do you know what? With you, Lloyd, I always count on you to take something so far away from whatever we were going to talk about. And that's why I would scream if I saw you in the street.
Okay, yeah.
You're very loved. Everybody that I hope you know that, actually. It's really weird. I had this conversation about somebody who's no longer here, who I loved very much. I'm a dear friend. And we were saying about how we wish that Paul O'Grady knew how much he was loved.
Yeah.
And I think that people should share that now.
Yeah.
So I think that everybody loves you. Everybody loves Rob Beckett. I'm going to tell you all to you. I saw Rob last week. I said to him, you know, everyone loves you. And he just, you know him better than me.
Oh, we leave it out. Yeah.
Just love.
I think it's nice to tell people when they're loved or liked. Because especially now with social media, people just, they're quick to tell people they don't like them. Mm. And like there isn't, you know, so I listen to a lot of Radio 3 because I'm a choir boy geek. And so if there's like a decent performance, I'll just like find that performer and be like, oh, mate, I really like that. That was great.
Isn't that lovely?
If it was that Coral Even song from a cathedral, I'd be like, do you know what? That was a brilliant, you know, recording. Just because I don't think you get enough, you know, I don't think people, not me in general, I don't think people get enough love and recognition. And
I
like
agree.
Like Paul O'Grady, I mean, the greatest showman ever. Like, and should have known that he was loved. So I think, yeah, let's share a bit more love.
Exactly. I think it's really important. And that's what you do. I mean, you're back out there on the road on tour.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going to be tonight, but you're going to be in the vicinity of. Does that always happen on tour?
No, no. So usually at the moment I'm previewing my tour show. So I'm basically going up and down the country doing previews of my tour, which have been amazing.
Yeah, you did one with Rob and Stephen Merchant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was a bit surreal. Like, and I've got a little tiny cameo in Stephen's sitcom, which was funny. Obviously, I'm a massive Stephen Merchant fan. Watched The Office as a kind of like a young adult, and I've watched all his stand-up, and you know, I've been a fan of his throughout my formative years, and then I got to do a little scene in his sitcom, and the words I had to learn were so difficult.
Why?
Because it was just technological phrases about even now I'm struggling to, and I kept buggering it up. And he was there, and he was so lovely. But when I saw him the other day, I was like, mate, I still get cold sweats about mucking up. Because it was just...
hiding under the duvet moment?
Oh, yeah, it was awful. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. And then, because you were talking, it was so intense, what the stuff I was talking about like hard drives, and it was just all technological phrases, which I'd never heard of. It was like me speaking a different language. And I was like, I've got no reference point for any of these syllables, let alone words. And then he's like, don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it. And then he's like, do we have someone to stand in for Lloydo if he keeps mucking it up? Like, as a joke. But when you go, oh, it's one of my idols. And you're just like dry heaving. But I mean, I got there in the end. But and then to do stand up on the same bill as Stephen Merchant. Because I remember years ago, I did a gig. I was booked to do this gig when I was first starting out. When you do comedy, you start out doing like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, little bits and bobs here and there. And I remember getting booked for a 10-minute slot at a really prestigious gig. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. And then the promoter emailed me on the morning. He goes, Matt, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to bump you from this gig because Stephen Merchant wants to try new stuff for a TV thing. I was like, oh, my God, no worries, mate. He's one of my heroes. I was like, any chance I can still come down and watch? He went, well, it is sold out, so I'm afraid now. I was like, what?
No!
So I got bumped from just being in the building, let alone being on the stage. So I was like, all right, no worries, mate.
But you made it up to him by getting his words wrong.
Yeah, and I think he really... sorry, my phone... I got a new Apple Watch. My mum got me it. Bless her. Lovely shins.
The woman who wears lots of long dresses.
And I don't really know how to use it yet. And it's been since October. I'm now in... it's February and I've got to pay me tax. I've not done it yet. Anyway, so 2 days in 2 days' time.
Oh, you're so lovely.
But yeah, so then I was like, wow. And then to be on a gig with Stephen Merchant and Rob's obviously brilliant with the crowd. So it was him doing 20 minutes, me doing 20 minutes and Stephen Merchant doing 20 odd minutes. And oh, it was great just to watch.
I'm gutted. I'm really sorry. I was meant to be coming along and I just couldn't make it. And I'm really sorry. So let's go back to you. Forget Stephen and Rob. Who?
I think they'll be fine, those two.
Yeah, they'll do
it.
They
don't need any more air time.
Let's talk about your tour.
Yeah, so it's called Baroque and Roll. I'm going out on tour in March for like 3 months. And I turned 40 last year.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. My mum got me an Apple Watch.
And she wears her long dresses.
Yeah, she wears her long dresses. Or tights. Sometimes both. Anyway, so I turned 40 and I'm having a bit of a... I'm calling it a renaissance. A bit of a rebirth.
Okay.
I'm making a few changes in my life.
New car?
New car is one of them. And it is absolutely a midlife crisis car. Yeah, when you see it, you'll be like, oh, God.
It's grey.
It's grey.
Yeah. And it's not red, at least. That's
it's
okay.
Not, it was going to be green.
was it?
Yeah, bright green. And luckily, it's not anymore. Anyway, good. So that's one of the things. So I think, like, I remember, like, growing up, certain people's friends, dads, would, like, get a sports car, or, like, they'd go through a divorce and they'd start picking up the guitar and they'd go, oh, that's clearly a midlife crisis. And as I've approached 40, I'm like, oh, God, I hope I have, like, a series of midlife crises. And I think I am, but I'm not classing them as crises. I'm embracing them as new movements in my life. So I'm going to have a hair transplant.
Are you?
I am literally going to...
Now looking at your hair, but where do you need...
Well, I'm catfishing you. I'm catfishing you. I've got sprinkles in my hair. Like, not like a Mr. Whippy, like a...
The little...
The fibres.
Fibres.
Yeah, so I've
have
got
you?
Them. Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. I mean, they're doing all right, aren't they?
You can't tell.
They didn't.
So where are you going to have your transplant? Obviously on your head.
Yeah, from the back of the head onto like the bits that are missing. And like when I have a shower or if it rains, you can see that I'm balding. And I've always had hair. And I'm like, do you know what? I want to have hair.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, she's one of my best mates, she's having a boob job. And I was like, all right, okay. And I was a little bit judgmental. Not judgmental, but I was like, all right, why are you having that done? She went, because I wake up every morning, I look in the mirror and I don't like my boobs and I'm sad. And she was like, if I can look in the mirror and be happy, I'll be happy to my children, to my colleagues, to my husband.
Is she telling everybody that she's having it done then?
I'm not going to say her name.
No, please don't.
I mean, I have. But no, absolutely fair play, Clara. she's not called Clara. It's not Naomi. Anyway, so she's... it just made me go...
You're always on it. It's brilliant.
That's lovely. I mean, And
you thought the same thing? Because so do you look in the mirror and think,
yeah, 100%, 100%. I used to have hair the whole time, and now I'm losing hair, and I just feel a bit sad about it.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
no,
you know what?
That.
I think it's great now that we all listen to various different podcasts and motivational material, and a lot of it is like it's all about mindset in the morning. And like, if I have a hair transplant, and every morning I wake up and go, oh, go on, boy, well done, mate. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, great.
I think it's fantastic. If you're doing this for yourself,
yeah,
so you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. But all these things that I'm doing on paper are very tragic. But I just want to talk about
hair transplant, BMW.
Yeah, laser hair removal.
Sorry? You're having a transplant and you're having it removed.
I know the irony.
Where are you having it removed?
I've got hair where I don't want hair.
Should I ask? Is it best not to ask?
Oh, no, it's not.
It's not there.
Shoulders.
Oh, okay.
Upper arms.
Upper arms?
Yeah, so like from the elbow up to the shoulder.
Is it like combable?
No, it's not combable.
Okay. Is it plattable?
It's not plattable.
Not plattable.
Well, it depends. I mean, it'd be a small plat, but I mean, you could probably. We can't now, so I've been going through.
Oh, you've done it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm going for a procedure tomorrow.
So what does it feel like? Does it go...
Yeah, it's prickly.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's prickly.
Can you smell burning hair?
Do you know what? That is the thing I was not prepared for, was that smell of burning hair. And you're like... It's a little
okay,
bit,
so
yeah.
You've... Rather bizarrely, you're having hair taken away.
Yeah.
You're having hair put in.
Yeah.
BMW. Any more?
I'm having Invisalign. Like, so I'm
having braces.
Yeah, just like,
okay.
So I'm going to have that done. I am also going to have laser eye surgery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know, lots of friends have done it. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I will...
Do you need glasses for... What do you need glasses
reading,
for? Okay.
Reading
same.
And writing. And... Yeah. My right eye is quite bad, and my left eye is very good. I'd be in the army if it weren't for my right eye, and only that reason.
Yeah, they'd love your calves.
I'd be doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Lot of that, and you could sing in the army.
Well, do you know? I did consider going into like the Marines as a musician, like when I was a kid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I thought, well, I'd rather go to church. It seems a little.
They couldn't be more different, really.
Yeah.
Because church is all about. Peace and love, I presume.
Yeah.
And the army is about peace eventually when you're just going out and fighting for your country.
With your saxophone, which I don't get.
Do you play the saxophone?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I've seen you play the saxophone.
Have you?
Have you played it on stage?
I don't think I have.
Yes, you have.
Have I?
No, have I know where you played it.
Where?
We had a band on the show one time you came in and you took their saxophone.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a weird thing to remember.
Oh, my God, yeah, that was years ago.
Can you play the saxophone? Do you have one with you?
I don't know. No, they're just quite heavy to, you know, carry around.
So you play the saxophone?
I play two saxophones, the soprano and the alto. I play the clarinet. And that is it.
And you sing.
And I sing. Yeah, the singing's the main thing.
You have calves.
And
you're losing hair. You're gaining hair.
Yeah, losing hair, gaining hair. And I'm just embracing it all. I'm like, why?
I think it's fantastic. But also, I love that you're talking about it. Is this your act? Is this the
I've left the punchlines out. I did contemplate just telling you. I'll tell you. So basically, I went to for a consultation about the laser eye surgery.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh yeah, your pressure's fine, and you know, we'll be able to do it, and we're confident that you'll get 20/20 vision once we've done it." I said, "Okay, fine." She's like, "The only thing you need to know is that for like 6 to 8 weeks afterwards, you won't be able to drive late at night or like stare into bright lights." I was like, "Oh, right." She's like, "What?" I went, "Well, my job is literally to drive late at night and to stare into bright lights." She's like, "Oh, what do you do?" I was like, "I'm a gritter." And, like, that's what I was... and she didn't laugh because she didn't know I was a comedian, which I was. Even then, I was a bit like, I mean, I don't know what a gritter looks like. And what do they do in the summer?
Do you know, I went to the gritting. I went to do. Come I on. Did awards.
Here we go.
Where the that was the line painter of the year and the gritter of the year. Actually, I think that there was a gritting.
Gritter of the year.
It was something like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from any of the gritters. They do an incredible job. They're keeping us safe.
Great gritters.
Great gritters.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Lovely what, line, dot,
what,
line.
The line thing, because I think that's an art. Whereas I think just driving in the middle lane of a motorway, I don't know what makes a better gritter than another gritter. And I'd love to see the judging panel's notes.
Do you know that? But there are awards for everything. But I like that because not many people get... Like, actually, back where we started, about saying, well done, and you're doing a good job. And we all take lines in the road for granted.
We do take lines in the road for granted.
I bet you never go past a line and think, oh, that's a nice line.
No, I do. I genuinely do. I appreciate them. And also, like, I've stopped. I don't have TikTok. Well, I do have a TikTok account, but I don't have it on my app, on my phone, because it's quite addictive.
But you Insta?
I Insta, yeah. But I'm trying to keep that. I'm trying to ration that.
We've got to do something.
Yeah.
Your Instagram is
incredible. Your Instagram is like...
No, we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. I thought we could do a song. We could lip sync to something about how lovely you were. But I was on the tube coming in. I was singing, sort of murmuring, nearly loud, different songs about... And I was trying to change the name to Lloyd in it. I always sing loudly on the tube.
Do you?
People join in.
Oh my gosh, I would have to move carriage.
No, do not talk to people.
I don't know. I'm from Grimsby, but now I live a very London life.
Okay, you have to talk to people on the tube.
I know.
People want to be spoken to. I know, but especially by you.
I know, but no, but I.
Why don't you? Oh! I'm standing up. I'm so excited. I'm sitting down again. I've just thought.
So scared.
Why don't you do? Actually, all jokes aside. Can we make this happen?
I'm going to say no.
No, but you know what I'm going to say.
I've got a feeling.
Why don't you do a gig on a tube?
Yeah, that could work. I think like a gorilla gig, like a pop-up.
Yeah, and you just go into each carriage.
Yeah, I think that
play
is a really...
Play the saxophone, sing, and make people laugh.
I think that's a really good idea for a brand who are like trying to get people to connect and like chat and, hey, guys, lift your heads up.
Maybe. You could do it for Lloyd's Bank.
Yeah, Lloyd's.
Your name's Lloyd.
Yeah, but
you could do it. They are all about chatting.
I bank with Starling. And they're brilliant.
Lloyd's Pharmacy.
Lloyd's Pharmacy, yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever go into a Lloyd's Pharmacy?
My local one is not a Lloyd's. If I have to get a prescription for my nasal spray, for my rhinitis, I go to, I think it's, is it Lewis?
You really got rhinitis, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you have a rhinitis?
No.
Oh, right. Do you know what it is?
Yes, I do. My dad has it.
Dust allergy.
You have to squirt. Have you tried the salt spray?
Yeah. Sterimar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does that help?
I mean, it's not bad, but I just, the doctor's like, can you just keep doing it? I'm like, okay, fine. But I'm just sniffing then.
Your world, it just is mad. All right, can we sing now? Not we. Can you sing now?
I'll do Three Ravens.
So do you sing? Okay. Do you sing on the tour?
Yeah.
You still do it. You're keeping your music in your tour.
On my last tour, which was called One Ton of Fun, Lloyd Griffith, One Ton of Fun, it was about, like, I got a review when I was a child that basically said, from a school play that said, Lloyd Griffith had the audience in the palm of his hand. I expect there to be a musical written about his life one day. And I was like, oh, great.
Oh.
So I just expected it to be written as opposed to,
That was really, that was written about...
Yeah, I mean, he taught woodwork, so, I mean, his review probably wasn't worth that much weight in gold, but...
No, that's the punchline. It's not true, is it?
That is the punchline, and it is true.
He really was a woodwork
Mr.
teacher?
Mr. Starkey, yeah. He was into Amdram and,
He was into Amdram. Yeah, he knew his stuff.
Yeah, so he knew stuff. So that kind of, like, gave me the bug, and so my tour show last year was about what a musical would be about me, and it was essentially about going into Tesco and forgetting my bags for life, like, which I do, three times a week. Oh, crikey.
Can I follow you around for a week?
No, please. No, because of the restraining order. This is why we're in two separate studios, Gabby. Don't have to explain this again.
I just have this feeling that you're just, these things happen. Things happen to you, don't they? Wherever you go.
Life is boring. Everyone's life's boring. I mean, like, you talk about the fun bits, but like this morning, like me getting showered and getting ready and then having to go to central London to, you know, like...
But something would have happened on the way for you. Was it just a journey in?
All I did this morning was find a photo of Battersea Power Station from 2013. Because I'm sure I took a photo of Battersea Power Station in 2013. And that's all I did on the tube. And I messaged my friend who's sorting out the...
Doing your car?
Yes, him. And also the hire car person as well.
Okay. Yeah. Is that your friend?
Yeah.
Your hire car person's your friend?
Yeah.
Well, that's a useful friend to have.
Yeah, well, I went into a hire car place and he's like, just let me know if you need any cars. This is such a weird...
Like, you are... I told you, flexing. You're so showbiz.
I'm not showbiz.
You weren't showbiz, and now you're getting free car hire.
It's not free. Okay. It's not free. I just couldn't use anything else for a little while because I did have an agreement with a car hire company.
Were you doing voiceovers for them?
No, I was doing videos with Robin Van Persie, the footballer. But this is...
Okay, let's go on to your... Let's go, because get away from that. Sounds like it could have been slightly dangerous.
Yeah.
Let's go. Can we go... Shall we do... Your now incredible acting career.
Yeah. Ooh.
Shall we do football, how it all started, or should we do singing? You choose one of the three. Go on, you choose.
Well, like, acting just kind of happened.
Ted Lasso, Nolly, hello. Yeah. I know so many other things as well, but every time you're on Ted Lasso, which I miss, loved that show.
I'd love for there to be another series.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Oh, I've just got to find other ways to pay my mortgage.
That was such an incredible show.
Honestly, I
how did that happen?
Well,
let's talk about
really
that.
Interesting thing. So basically, I was on Soccer AM, which I loved as a child, and then got given the opportunity to host it for 2 years, and I did, and I loved it. And then I was asked to audition for Ted Lasso as another character, and I went for it, and I think I got it. I then went for another audition for a big Hollywood film. And I got it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Which is the reason why I then had to leave Soccer AM.
Was the Hollywood film?
I can't say for legal reasons.
Have you done it?
7 weeks later, the director changed his mind. And so I was on the M1. This is 2019. I was driving to Barnard Castle before it was trendy.
No.
Yeah, not for an optician's appointment. Just I was doing a gig with Tom Rosenthal, the comedian. And my agent called me and she's like, where are you? I was like, I'm on the M1. I'm going up for this work in progress. I don't really need to do because I'm going to be in Hollywood film in a few months. She's like, yeah, can you pull over like at a service station? I was like, oh, I don't have time. Has the film gone? She's like, I'm really sorry it has. And I just broke down in tears.
Oh, Lloyd.
And the director just changed his mind. And there was nothing I could do. Like, I'd already signed... we'd signed the deal, so, like, you know, financially, I was in a good place. As in,
but that's not what it was about.
No,
surely.
It
was about being in it.
I would have absolutely done it for free.
Yeah,
and look, you know,
I'm sorry.
And it's, you know, absolutely fine. But it was like, oh right, and I just left Soccer AM, so I could have gone back to Soccer AM, but I just thought I've made that choice now. I don't want to like be that guy that goes back with his tail between his legs. But I can't tell you, like, every comedian is a comedian for a number of reasons. Usually it's rejection issues. And I have had them like my whole life. Not that they're like huge, 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 but you just have them, do you know what I mean, from various different things. And then this didn't help. So I was like, oh, this is far from ideal.
Yeah, spiral down.
But I think
goodness.
Life works in a weird way. So like then from there, my agent went back to Ted Lasso and was like, he's actually free now. They're like, oh, well, we've cast that, but does he want to be a reporter in Ted Lasso? Like, okay, great. And then Jet Whitehall, I had done tour support with a few years before, and he's like a really good friend of mine. He's like, look, why don't you just come out and tour with me, and we'll.
Did you tell him what had happened?
Yeah. And he'd been through a couple of similar situations, not exactly the same.
I was going to say he went through something like that, didn't he?
Yeah. And so he was great. He was a great sounding board, and so he gave me some great advice about what to do, and he said, look, just come on tour. And so I then became like a bigger part of his tour, so I like, you know, would go on and open for him. I'd then do a little bit of dancing in the show. I'd be in the pantomime bit at the end, and it was great. And then so I filmed three things in that autumn. which was Ted Lasso, and no one really knew what if it was going to be successful or not. You know, yeah. I guess you don't. A film with Mark Wahlberg and a show called It's a Sin, where I was in like two tiny fleeting scenes.
It's a Sin.
Yeah, It's a Sin. I played the estate agent. And
It's a Sin was, I think, one of the... I'm actually putting it out there, and I've said it very publicly. I love Russell. I think it's one of the greatest television programmes ever.
It's incredible. And I was obviously lucky enough to have read the scripts. Still.
Sorry, I thought you said Mark Wahlberg in It's a Sin. That's why I said to you, It's a Sin.
Yeah,
I didn't, maybe
sorry.
It was another show.
I did a film with Mark Wahlberg.
What was that one?
It was called...
Is it the one that's just come out?
No, it came out years ago. And I think my lines were cut from
Oh, no.
It.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, I'm going to film with Mark Wahlberg. It's only one scene, but this is all right, isn't it? And actually, it was It's a Sin and Ted Lasso, which absolutely swept the board with all the awards. And yeah, It's a Sin, you know, was outstanding. And you know, even though you've read the scripts, you know what's happening. When you watch it, nothing prepares you for what's happening.
Outstanding. Beautifully written. Like, beautifully done.
You know, Russell, I
love him.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's hard to basically, as an actor, go, I love Russell T. Davis without sounding like you just want to be
him. Yeah, and you've been in Nolly with him as well.
I love him, and he's very lovely to me. And he's, you know, he put me in Nolly, where I played Paul Henry and also Benny, you know, from Crossroads, which was an amazing experience. Working with Russell and also Peter Hall, the director who directed It's a Sin as well. And then, you know, an incredible cast, which obviously includes Helena Bonham Carter.
The thing about Russell is, if he likes you, then it's lovely, and he does with you. Long may that reign.
Put me in Doctor Who, mate.
Can we just go back? Everybody wants that. It's so funny.
You message him.
That sounds so showbiz, but I've known Russell a very long time. You message him and I go, by the way, I don't want to be in Doctor Who before, you know, the beginning of the message.
In brackets, Lloyd does. Also, can I say, I love the love that you and Russell have online as well. Like, you see it from a distance, like, oh,
he's lovely. But Ted Lasso has been a phenomenal. I mean, it's lovely Hannah, who another one I've known since she was a West End Wendy. I mean, goodness me, I am so pleased. And Nick Mohammed. It's just and Brett. Yeah. Brett, who used to know us all, now they'll just go, who are you?
Weirdly, I was looking for that photo for Batty Power Station on my phone this morning. Weirdly, on the tube. And then there's a photo of Brett from like 2013, where we did we didn't do a pantomime, crikey. We did a comedy gig next door to a pantomime.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it was at Wickham Swan Theatre. Brett's a lovely bloke. Like,
oh, he's lovely. He's lovely.
Ever meet.
But trying to get in touch with him now because he's so short. Have you tried?
Oh, yeah, we
have you?
We chat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's usually me being like, you know, can you put me in something, please? I need to pay my mortgage, Brett. Now that Ted Lasso stopped, can you put me in Shrinking? Can you put me in one of the other 5,000 things you've been commissioned, please, Brett? And you know, I can see he's read them. So when I say we're chatting, I'm chatting to him. He's not replying. It's two blue ticks, but there's, you know, he's not replying. But yes, I found this photo, and it was him. I don't know why I took a photo of him, but it was a nice photo of him just writing on his hand before a gig. But that night it was him and Jen Brister, who is one of my favourite comedians. She is unbelievable. If you're not aware of Jen Brister, go and watch all her stuff online. And then Shane Ritchie was playing Buttons next door, and he basically knocked on the door and he went, "All right, lads." And it was just me and Brett at the time. I went, "All right, hello, mate." He went, "Can I come in here? Cinderella's been all right." And then expletive next door. All right, mate. Yeah. And then Shane Ritchie just came and sat down, and me and Brett were like, oh my God, Shane Ritchie's here.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And now you look at Brett Goldstein, double Emmy award winning Brett Goldstein.
Wow.
And I'm sure Shane Ritchie's like, oh, I can't believe that. I shared a room with Brett Goldstein.
Is that the guy I shared a room with?
Yeah. But Brett, you know, the whole thing, the table read was one of the funniest and most insane things I'd done.
Beautiful show.
And, you know, I wasn't aware of Hannah Waddingham at the time. And
nobody was unless you went to West End musicals.
Exactly. Or, you know, she'd done quite a lot of other, you know,
she
bits
did
and bobs.
Ben the Dorman,
Game of Thrones and stuff. And she was incredible. And she's just.
She's a goddess.
So. And do you know, like, I think when you're on a set for something that big, I think, you know, it can be hierarchical in the, oh, actually, I'm number one, or I'm in the top 10, or I'm, you know, everyone's listed as their number. There was none of that.
Sorry, everyone's listed as a number?
Yeah, it's awful.
That's horrible.
It's what I hate, yeah.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and I just didn't realise Like, I didn't realise, and I did it.
It's made me shrink. It's made me go embarrassed.
You have, you have gone small, yeah.
Ah.
It's so it's like an in-joke, you know, and the agents battle it out as to who's number one and who's number two on the call sheet and stuff. So, and I think...
What, it actually has a number next to your name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
I remember
doing something and my mate, oh, you're number seven. I was like, what? He's like, you're number seven. That's good. I was like, you're in the top 10. I was like, I don't know what you're on about. He's like, oh, you're seven on the call sheet. I was like, oh, right. I just thought it was alphabetical. He's like, well, no, obviously, because that Hollywood star's number one. And then the really good star after that is number two. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, okay, yeah, fine.
Number seven, that's good.
Yeah, there was only eight people in it. And the eighth was a child, a newborn.
So your acting has really taken off, and I hope that... Is there more acting?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to ask?
Last year we did quite a few really nice bits of stuff that will come out.
I love the way you say
year.
We.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that often.
I say it.
Do you know what I say? Yeah. I include my agent in that.
Yeah.
I include my agent.
It's nice. I like that.
We've done a few bits. Yeah.
So what can you mention any?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine.
But they're coming out this year and
are they movies or TVs?
TV.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And like really, really, yeah, lovely show. And two really nice things. One this year, one next year. Just going back to the Hannah Waddingham thing. Oh my gosh, right.
She's
the loveliest lady you'll ever meet. Like, amazing. It just makes everyone feel so lovely. Like, warms up a room, warms up a trailer. And there was a moment where we were at Wembley, filming at Wembley, and we're all, like, in the dressing room. I was like, oh, I might pop out to the pitch because I'm trying to do this thing where I'm trying to sing at Wembley. That was my show 3 years ago where I want to sing the national anthem at Wembley before an England game.
Yeah.
Because they usually have amazing singers who are brilliant, but they're not football fans. And I'm like, if you get me, working class
You're a
class
double
lad,
whammy.
Working class lad, do you know what I mean? I'll pay for my own ticket. You know, I don't even need, you know, and then... And she was, oh, let's go out then. And we went out to Wembley. And then Hannah just sang a little excerpt from an aria, that was some of the best singing I've ever heard. I was like, where's that come from? She's like, oh, yeah, no, I sing. I was like, oh, my God. And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I'm going to remember this for a long time.
Did you sing?
I did, yeah.
You sung with her?
Hannah had gone in at this point.
Did you not sing together?
No, we didn't. No.
Why not?
It was just one of those moments where she sang.
She'd love it.
I shriveled up and, you know, I did what you just did then. Like, oh, my God. And I think a few of the other footballing lads were there. But, yeah, it was...
But she's so not like... I mean, I have known Hannah for so many years from West End shows, and she's just always been completely real, and exactly what you see is what you get with Hannah, isn't it?
The world needs to be run by you and Hannah.
We're very naughty. If when we get together, we're very naughty. We're like two pathetic schoolgirls.
That's fine.
Very silly. Okay, so that's your acting side. Let's go to your singing side.
Because
you've got this voice that is so beautiful that I want you to do more.
Yeah, and I'm trying to this year. That's like what I'm trying to do. I'm setting up a little choir. It's just hard to do everything at the same time. So I basically was at a comprehensive school in Grimsby called Old Clee. Lovely school. And then there was a choir school in Grimsby called St James School, and it was the only school in the UK which had its own parish church, or the only parish church in the country which had its own choir school. One of three in the world, so it was quite like famous.
Wow.
But in Grimsby,
three in the world.
Yeah, it was St Thomas Fifth Avenue and St Thomas Berlin. But then so it was like this quite held in quite high regard, but it was a parish church. So anyway, look, I got asked to audition for the choir, and then the school fees were unbelievably, like, we were working class, single parent family, me, my mum, my sister. Mum was like, you obviously can't afford this. We had a knight in shining armour, like me, auntie's best mate, Jeff, who then became my godfather, was like, oh, I've got a bit of money. Can't be buried with it, so how about I pay? And so
Jeff.
I think it was like £1,000 a term, so he was paying like £3,000 a year, bless him, for like 5 years. And then I got a full scholarship. But I used to, like, go to school on, like, Columbia Road, Grimsby. I used to go to school dressed like Harry Potter, like, a little cap, blazer, briefcase. Like, everyone would, look at this little posh, you know, what so-and-so. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And do you know what? I just I didn't want to do anything else. Like, there wasn't anything else that I'd even consider, you know, music and singing. Obviously, I talked about, you know, maybe wanting to join the forces as a musician, but I just loved singing. And it was just this thing that I found, and I sang 5 to 8 times a week. And then I went to university and I got a scholarship at Exeter Cathedral and read music at Exeter and studied classical music there. And I just, I love it. And I think that I'd love for more kids to sing because it's given me what is, you know, an incredible opportunities in life. And I think, you know, there's some fantastic schemes. Like David Lammy, the MP, he was, I think, I'm right in saying, Haringey or Walthamstow, or Tottenham, I think it was. And he got a scholarship to Peterborough Cathedral, and he was in the choir school there. So, they, you know, a lot of these cathedral choirs will look at kids from deprived areas and take them and give them scholarships. I know that St George's Chapel, Windsor Castle, where I sing at, they've got a fantastic, I think, scheme in Tower Hamlets. But if anyone out there has a child who might be considering joining a choir, like, do it.
It's good for your, as you said, mental health, spiritual health.
Everything. It's so good. Like, you're learning skills. And, you know, like when you, like, have to go and get a job, you know, well, I mean, obviously you and I don't, but, you know, like...
We have to go
but
and get a job.
But is it going, oh, what are your, you know, teamwork and leadership and also being able to work on your own? Like, you get all that from a choir, like, you know, just without realising. So I,
So you're going to put a choir together now?
So I'm putting a choir together this year of just some friends, and we're just going to do some stuff we want to do and just pop it mainly online. And if it garners like a bigger...
Oh, how wonderful!
And we'll do... But my thing, I'm kind of a bit reticent about saying it, but, like, we want to perform in places with, like, ridiculous acoustics, so like stairwells of car parks, for example.
Which and the Tube. Like,
the Tube, I don't think, has a great acoustic. Famously, I've been on the Bakerloo line recently. You can't hear yourself.
I love that you're going to be doing that.
So yeah, I just want to do a few more
car parks and stairwells.
Car parks, like under little bridges and stuff like that. And it, so if anyone's listening that goes, oh, do you know what? This bus shelter, or if
I think that's such a fantastic idea. Yeah. And is it going to be classical music, choral music?
Choral music, yeah. So like mainly choral.
No, local musical theatre, because if it was, I'm going to come and sing along. No, don't worry, I won't. So can we have a little burst? So there will be some people who don't know what an exceptional singer you are. And the voice that comes out of you makes me cry. So I'm ready to cry. Ed, I hope you're ready to cry. Ed and Joe, who work on the show, get ready to cry. Would you just do a little bit of choral?
Yeah, what I'm going to do...
I remember you singing What's it called? I'm not going to do it.
I can't remember. But yeah, I sing also... What I'm going to do... I'm trying to find the words because I've forgotten the words. There's the car that I'm getting, just FYI.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very
proper,
smart.
Proper midlife crisis.
It really is.
Yeah. So I'm going to do Three Ravens, which is a... it's like a almost like a folky kind of chorally song. But yeah.
I'm just going to... Do you know, I'm going to video you doing this.
Okay. So this is like a, Three Ravens. It's a weird song.
I don't mind weird.
Do you know it?
I don't know until you sing it.
There were three ravens sat on a tree. Down, a down, a down, hey, down. They were as black could be, with a down. Then one of them said to his mate, where shall we our breakfast take? With a down, teddy, 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 downtown. So that's just a little...
Oh, you've just got the most beautiful voice, Lloyd.
That's just like, yeah, it's a bit weird.
No, it's nothing weird. Yeah. Don't put yourself down.
Oh, no, but I love that it's weird. I'm like, embrace weird.
The words of the song are strange, but
also,
but
that was very ropey. I know it's 12.
No, it wasn't. Like, it really wasn't. That was beautiful. Wasn't that lovely? Oh, see there. Oh,
they're not happy tears.
No, he's in awe. Yeah. They're in awe tears. Lloyd, you really do spread joy. You are a complete and utter delight to ever spend any time with, and I hope you have an album out. Because, no, I do. I think you should have an album out.
I
think the idea of going and just doing under bridges and stairwells, I think it's the most wonderful idea. And also, I'm working a lot at the moment on trying to tackle loneliness. And I think choirs do so much for that as well.
Genuinely. Like, especially during the pandemic where, you know, I lived on my own for the majority of it. And I cannot tell you how much I missed those choirs. And just the camaraderie and everything. So, Yeah, I think that my agent's joined a choir. She's joined a choir called Lips, and they do amazing concerts. I've actually not been to one yet because I've always been gigging, because she's so good at getting me gigs. and filming work. So I haven't been able to see one yet, but like, it's just great, and she loves it, you know. And I've got friends that
There's the tuneless choir, so people who can't sing can join a choir. I love that.
Great. So, you know, and also no prejudice. It doesn't matter if you know, you're tone deaf, just come along. But like, the mental health benefits from singing a choir, like, are unbelievable. Yeah. Just without, you know, without knowing it. It's mindfulness without you realising. And that's why I didn't realise. I've been doing it since I was 7 years old, doing it for like 30 odd years. And then when it gets taken away from you, you're like, oh, why am I feeling anxious? It's like, oh, because you've not sung for 2 years, Lloyd. So
go back and do it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, Lloyd, thank you so much. You were a complete joy. We were going to call Rob Beckett, but I'm not going to, let's not.
Do you want my thing that I brought with me?
Yeah, but that's in the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a little extra nugget of joy. Thank you so much, lovely.
Thank you.